This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Hello, America. I'm Robert Greece, and welcome to the CEO Show. We're here today with Don Fox. How are you, Don?
I'm doing great, Robert. Great to be with you.
And Don is the CEO of Firehouse Subs. Now, I think there's only about 37 or so restaurant organizations and franchises that have over 1,000 restaurants.
That's correct. It's some thin air when you get there.
Yeah, so this is a different organization, and we'll talk about what you're doing in philanthropy, but really the concept of Firehouse Subs is very different. So let's start there. Later on we'll talk about you went from when you joined there were 65, you know, and now you're almost 1,200.
Right. Well, the brand started in October of 1994. The founders are two brothers, Robin Sorensen and Chris Sorensen, both firefighters, came from a long heritage of firefighter family members, over 200 years of experience in total. So they were dedicated to a couple of basic things. Number one is they were dedicated to have the best food, the best sandwich possible. And they were going to have the best service possible. As they like to say, they were going to out-service everybody. And then the third element of it was the branding that tied back into that firefighter culture. It had that theme associated to it. Actually, the marketing department doesn't like when I say theme, because it's the real deal, real heritage. It's not contrived.
It's not for marketing reasons. You really do.
Correct, yes.
Yeah. And you know what? Before we talk about it, why don't you talk about what that theme is and what you're doing in the non-for-profit world? Because I think that's really interesting.
Sure. Well, of course, the genesis was that firefighter heritage, and the look and the decor of the restaurant reflected that initially. It still does today. So a lot of historic elements. The earlier look was sort of a throwback look to the earlier part of the last century. And the first many dozen restaurants got built out that way. But then in the early 2000s, at the request of franchisees, they wanted to modernize it a bit in terms of celebrating current firefighters a little bit more. So you saw more current photography, honoring the local fire department. I mean, there's a real local connection, even though it was becoming a large regional and then national brand. But the really key change came in 2005 when we created our nonprofit arm. Now, I'll preface this by saying the brothers, the partners, had always been involved philanthropically. That was part of the DNA of the brand, giving back to the community. And they were involved with Muscular Dystrophy Association very heavily, because firefighters have a long culture of being involved with MDA, doing the boot drives every year, Habitat for Humanity. That was another cause that they spent a lot of time with. But in 2005, they personally took part in a relief effort out in Mississippi associated with Hurricane Katrina. Took a lot of food out there and tractor trailer loaded with product, about a dozen other staff members, to originally to go provide help and support to the firefighters that headed out of Jacksonville down I-10 to head to where the hurricane struck. When they got there, they realized the firefighters were well taken care of. I don't think firefighters travel very far without food. And so they were set on their own, and they turned their attention to helping the victims that were there. So life-changing experience for them. Spent about 4 days in the market offering that aid. And when they came back, realized, hey, we should really do something philanthropically that is much closer tied or has closer ties to our brand. And after a little bit of brainstorming, within a year, launched that idea. And the mission of the Firehouse Subs Public Safety Foundation became a mission for providing life-saving equipment to first responders. At first, primarily fire departments.
You're giving like $44 million.
Over $44 million.
That's terrific.
And we raise millions of dollars a year now. And I have to say right up front, we can't do that without our guests. Our guests each year contribute between 60-70% of the funds that come into the foundation. We contribute the lion's share of the balance of that. You know, in a given year, last year, this year, we'll raise somewhere in the $8 to $9 million range as we get more scale. So it's very powerful. And while it was started purely out of the spirit of philanthropy, and still operates under that spirit, what we discovered in about 2011, 2012, as we looked at various metrics associated with the business, is that the consumers were rewarding us for what we were doing. The more they became aware of the fundraising that was taking place, their involvement in the fundraising, and then those donations that we were doing, and hearing the stories about how that equipment was put to life in a practical way virtually every day to save lives, we were measuring the sales results. And icing on the cake was in 2012, I was speaking on the topic of philanthropy at the National Restaurant Association show in Chicago, big annual event, 60,000 attendees. So I was doing a speech on that topic, and in the audience was a professor from Cornell University, unknown to me until after I finished, and he came up and introduced himself, went on to tell me that they were trying to do a white paper, a study on the connection between philanthropy and business results. But they'd had some difficulty up to that point finding a brand or a cause that had good data. And they had the data that they could really, because everybody would agree, I think, with the old cliche, you know, you give back to your community, they give back to you. Sounds great, but prove it. A lot of people can't. A lot of it's on faith that you embark upon those efforts and the feeling that you're doing something right. But we happen to have great data, and a lot of that was generated because of all the fundraising that we did. Because the fundraising that takes place in the restaurants is a direct result of the enthusiasm of the franchisee and how that owner gets their employees motivated. It's a simple thing, but it's just making the ask. We were maybe one of the earliest brands that it was called Roundup. Now you probably run into this a lot in various places. You go up to round up to the nearest dollar. Back then, it wasn't so commonplace, and that's the way we raised most of our money. But that takes engagement, you know, to make that happen. So we were able to take a look at the restaurants that were most engaged by virtue of the fundraising that they did, and contrast their sales performance with the least engaged. And this holds true today after all these years. There is a distinct variation in the sales performance of those units when you look at the top 10%, the bottom 10%. So we already had those insights, and that's what I was speaking about at that event in Chicago, and that's what grabbed the interest of the professor from Cornell. Well, they took it another step. They had a lot more analytical horsepower that they could apply at Cornell than we necessarily could within our organization. So they did exhaustive study, quantitative, qualitative work, and reached the same conclusion, but with a lot more backup. And that was critical for us because we still had some franchisees within our system who perhaps hadn't completely bought in terms of the merits and the motivation.
Do you remember any of those data points?
Oh, sure, yeah. When we looked at especially in those early years, the top 10% fundraisers, and we rank them based on how much they raise as a percentage of their sales, so that everybody's on an equal playing field. Obviously, a higher volume restaurant should raise more money, more traffic, more opportunity to donate. So we equalize it by doing it on the basis of amount raised with the sales volume. And what we discovered, or what we saw, was that the top 10% had sales volumes that were 25% higher than the bottom 10%. And every year we would track that metric, and every year that gap was there, 20% plus. And what's happened over time, and this is a good thing, we've seen some compression because as much as we promote the philanthropy, the bottom performers do even better than they used to. So the gap narrows, and that's a good thing.
What a great story about how philanthropy really works. And I think the core message to everyone here is you have to have something authentic that genuinely ties into your DNA, right?
Absolutely. We're blessed in that regard to have something that's so natural with our heritage. And I think it's fair to say a lot of other brands would envy us for that natural connection. But I admire many brands that have taken on efforts. McDonald's is a great example. Ronald McDonald House now seems so synonymous with the brand. But at the time it was launched, it was by a franchisee of theirs, I believe, in the Baltimore market many, many years ago. That was a locally produced thing. And that cause of providing support for families of ill children would not have necessarily been something intuitively linked to it. But boy, did they invest in that and build it over time.
If anyone wants to learn about being a franchisee, Where do they go?
They can go to firehousesubs.com, and they'll see the franchising tab, and they can start their inquiry there.
Do they
there.
Have to be a fireman or know somebody?
No, they do not. And we have an interesting mix of background. About half the people in our system come in with restaurant background, probably the other half without. And the beauty of franchising is we teach them and arm them with the things they know they need to know to be successful.
We're about to take a break. When we come back, we're going to speak with Don about how you grow an organization from 65 to almost 1,200 restaurants. So back in a few.
Hi, this is Robert Reese, and welcome to CEO Forum. This week, you'll learn with over 500,000 listeners the secrets of success from top CEOs. No sound bites, no gotchas. Instead, you'll hear direct insights, stories, and wisdom on personal leadership and on growing your business. Unfiltered and straight from the most successful CEOs. Hope you enjoy. And if you miss a CEO interview, you can hear any on our website, www.ceoforum.ceo.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live underground gopher. You need survivalist camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid mobile survival bug-out house that's well-equipped and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement, you bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. danpilla.com.
The March of Dimes and HCA Healthcare are committed to the best possible start for every baby. I'm Amy Casseri, Vice President of HCA Women and Children's Services, where we have the honor of delivering over 200,000 babies a year. We partner with the March of Dimes on research and fundraising to help build a brighter future for babies everywhere. So march with us on one of the many HCA teams assembled nationwide. Learn more at marchforbabies.org/HCA.
If you feel you've been lied to, pressured, or misled into buying your timeshare, you have the right to cancel completely. This is Steve Sanchez, and I'd like to introduce you to Wesley Financial Group, the leading top-rated timeshare cancellation company in the country. That's right, no more excessive fees or lifetime commitments that make you feel like you're serving a prison sentence. Founded by CEO Chuck McDowell, a pioneer in the industry, who went into federal court and won against the largest timeshare resort company in the world just to help you get out of your timeshare. Too good to be true? No. Countless testimonials and the highest ratings from the Better Business Bureau make Wesley Financial Group the real deal, and their money-back guarantee they put in writing makes them the Steve Sanchez choice for successfully canceling your timeshare guaranteed. To get their free information kit, call 1-800-475-1919. That's 1-800-475-1919, or visit them at timesharecancellations.com. That's 1-800-475-1919.
Cancer categorizes over 100 diseases. Though we do not diagnose, treat, or cure cancer, GCN team is offering the Clemson University study where there was up to a 95% reduction in cancerous cells when exposed to a plant-derived mineral supplement. If you or a loved one are searching for answers to this horrifying disease, come to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. We'll email you a copy for free. That's 877-878-4203.
Hi, this is Robert Reese on the CEO show, and we were with Don Fox, the CEO of Firehouse Subs. So when you joined in 2003, right, there were about 65 restaurants.
Correct.
And then you became CEO in 2009, and there were about 280 or so.
That's right.
And now there's almost 1,200.
1,173.
Right? Yes. There you go. And so what is the key to doing that? And also, then let's talk about, you give a few sentences about working with franchisees, because you've had some interesting ways of working with them on advertising,
sure,
for example.
Sure. I think the most important thing, it may sound like a cliche to talk about culture, but cliches are cliches for a reason, because they're fundamentally true. That's how they become cliches. And so I can't emphasize it enough. I was fortunate to step into an organization, even though it was at a very early stage with only 65 restaurants, that already had great cultural elements to it. Great set of values, great principles that the founders had put in place, that they were driven by. So I, again, just looked to protect that and then build upon it and put in place the systems, the communication methods that help make sure that as people join the team, if they're embracing it from the start. I think a challenge that many organizations have as they grow is that they lose that, or they don't find the way to be able to make sure that as people enter, every company, especially when you're in the hospitality industry, it's a reflection of the people that make it up. You know, it takes three resources to build a brand. It took three resources to go from zero to 1,173. It takes capital. Capital doesn't really discriminate that much. The main aspect of capital is how wisely you utilize it, not so much where it comes from, it's how you deploy it that's most important. Second element is time. And time is finite. It's my minute's the same as your minute. It's how wisely you manage it. The third element, those people. And people's the big variable in the whole thing. I can have all the money, I can have all the time to hit our domestic goal has always been 2,500 restaurants. Easy. I could go out and raise the capital any number of ways to build out 2,500 restaurants. That's an easy task. I have the time to do it and then to build them out. The challenge is you won't have a successful brand, certainly not in the restaurant industry, unless you then have the great people. You know, you're talking 30, 35,000 people in the end at 2,500 restaurants.
What is the key to a great person? Is there one characteristic of someone who works for you that is a success?
I think they've got to be a bit of an open vessel and willing to take the coaching and so on, because we're kidding ourselves if we ever think that everybody that we ever bring on the team is going to be armed with all of the qualities that you know they're eventually going to need to be successful. There, nothing is a better example of that than just at the restaurant itself. And by the way, that's where the majority of our people are working for franchisees. We have 37 restaurants that we own and operate too, so we're expert at that and live that every day. But as you're bringing on people into the system, you are looking for some core work ethic qualities and so on. But most of what they need to be successful, you're going to teach them. And when it comes to the culture, is very important. So I say this often to people with other brands, other companies. Look, if you can't define your culture for your organization, you're losing already.
So I have to ask you a question. You're with a company that's these brothers, they founded it. They have 200 years of firemen in their heritage.
and you're coming in really as an outsider. You're with Burger King. You understood the restaurant business. What is that dynamic like, and what advice do you have to people on how to manage that and be successful?
Sure. I think that when you step into a situation where the closely privately held company, really a family business in this case, listen first. You know, this is advice I give to any employee coming into an organization. You know, when you go to bring somebody in new, you're hoping for somebody that's very enthusiastic and pumped up and wanting to make a difference and driven, results-oriented. You're looking for that. But that type person, when they come in, if their approach is from day one to say, oh, here's how we have to do things, and I've got this great idea and I want to implement it, and boy, let's go, 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 they're probably now a threat to a lot of other people. They haven't earned the street cred that they need yet within the organization to go out and make those proclamations. And I would say the same thing applies if you were a new CEO coming in. You come in and you do two things. You listen and you learn. Of course, you do have to start offering some guidance, and especially if you're stepping into any sort of a problem situation. But my advice to anybody would be is, look, go into it more offering your experience about the things that you shouldn't do, the mistakes that were made, the things that you need to avoid. Because people, I think psychologically, nobody wants to make mistakes.
I want to interrupt you because you have a little less than 2 minutes left, and you have a great story on galvanizing the franchisees through the advertising. Tell that.
Certainly. Every franchise entity, just about, ends up with a franchise association. And they're usually formed out of adversity. Disgruntled franchisees that collectively get together and form an association. It becomes very, very adversarial relationship. Well, very early in the history of Firehouse, back in about 2005, we had an opportunity, because of some mechanics of our advertising fund, to proactively form a board of directors over the advertising co-op. We had been very fragmented. Every market had its own individual co-op, and I knew I couldn't scale the system under that type of marketing plan. So I was able to persuade the franchisees at the time that if it would be to their benefit to consolidate, create a national co-op, but to help earn their confidence in doing that, I told them that I would allow, or they can't change bylaws without the franchisor mutually approving it, so we'll create a 9-person board of directors. And I'm going to authorize you to make 5 of those seats franchisees, give you a 1-person majority. The other 3 were area representatives who, in our system, those are franchisees too, because we franchise on a 2-tier system. But a conventional franchisee is always going to believe that the area rep is going to vote the way the franchisor wants them to vote. There's nothing I would ever do to get over the hump on
that. So that only leaves one as a home base. One is headquarters.
I have 1 person from headquarters. But
Do they get like an equal, like that 1%?
Equal vote. Yeah, 1 person on the board gets one vote.
That's one vote each.
Right, on issues that come before.
That's a big risk.
That come before the board.
How did it work out?
Well, it worked out great. But the key was in 2015, we went to exercise for the first time a measure within the co-op.
About 30 seconds left.
Yeah, that would. There's an article in the co-op agreement that allows the board of directors for the co-op to set a higher contribution rate. So normally franchisees were contributing 2%. They could elect to vote it up to 4%. I went to ask them for that for the first time, and I thought it was fundamentally unfair, going back to our values, to knowing I only needed 1 swing vote.
Mm-hmm.
To put that monumental of a decision in front of them. So I allowed them to increase the franchisee representation on the board by another 4 and gave them a supermajority.
Wow.
Nobody else, I would venture to say, would have ever done that. And what ended up happening? We got a unanimous vote for the increase
in
spend.
And that goes back to the message of street cred. Doing the right thing, people know that you have their best interest at heart. And there you go, from 65 up to 1,200, soon to be 2,500. Great having you on the CEO show.
Thanks, Robert. I enjoyed it.
Hunter hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists. Get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry My Pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Hey, Bugsy, you hear the news about Vinny?
Yeah, it's a real shame. He owed money to the IRS and they finally caught up with him.
Just like Al Capone.
If the IRS can get the Capone, imagine what they can do to little old Vinny, huh?
Poor cat, he was on top of the world. Then bada boom, bada bing.
What Vinny needs now is an offer he can't refuse.
Hey, you got a tax problem? Does the IRS claim you owe them a bunch of dough? They can get you, too. So call the Tax Relief Line now and learn if you qualify to negotiate your $10,000-plus IRS tax debt for up to a 75% savings. Don't be like Al or Vinny and get busted. Make this free call now. Learn how you may be able to pay the IRS less.
Call now. 800-590-4930. 800-590-4930, 800-590-4930, that's 800-590-4930.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So how'd it go for Jake?
Did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-301-5435. That's 800-301-5435. 800-301-5435.
this is Robert Reese, and welcome to CEO Forum. This week, you'll learn with over 500,000 listeners the secrets of success from top CEOs. No sound bites, no gotchas. Instead, you'll hear direct insights, stories, and wisdom on personal leadership and on growing your business. Unfiltered and straight from the most successful CEOs. Hope you enjoy. And if you miss a CEO interview, you can hear any on our website, www.ceoforum.ceo. Hello, America. I'm Robert Reese, and welcome to the CEO Show. We're here today with Alan Gross. How are you, Alan?
Thank God. All is well.
And all is well for Alan, because Alan is the founder, CEO, chairman of GFI. This is a great company in value creation. And all of you CEOs listening in, I know that's what you want to learn about. How do you create new value? We're going to learn all things about leadership, about maybe negotiation, about creating deals. But why don't you start off, tell everyone first what GFI is.
GFI is a company that we formed in 1983. The company was real estate oriented. Basically, we do multifamily, we do hotels, we do retail, we build, we develop. We were originally started off as a mortgage bankers in the debt business, and we evolved into really creating long-term assets, long-term hold assets, and over 40 years, it's been a great ride.
Yeah, and so right now you've got 600 people, and you're doing deals all over America, creating all different types of value.
Correct.
So what, if you look at, are there any common themes of how you create value?
We create value by, first of all, looking at an asset and really looking at it, not what it was, but what it could be. A vision of understanding what's around it and seeing what you think that you can add value to this particular asset, whether it's a hotel or whether it's a shopping center or whether it's a mall.
So how do you know? Is it the so now we're talking about real estate assets. So what is it you're looking for? Is it surrounding areas? What are the telltale signs that let you know there is hidden value? Because you're talking about the future, not the past.
Right. So, for instance, when we did the Beekman Hotel, which is located downtown, the Beekman Hotel in New York, in Manhattan. The Beekman Hotel was a building that was built in 1880, and it was laying vacant, neglected for over 30 years. And I used to pass by it almost every day going to the train, and I would look at it and say, what a gorgeous building. And when I finally once got inside and saw the interior of the building, then I really went Goo-goo gaga. And I realized,
why?
Because it had an atrium to die for, and something that you could never build and recreate under the new laws and under the new fire department laws and everything else that was involved in it. But I looked at it and I said, okay, let me do some research. And when I did some research, I found that over 200 people visited that building, and they just couldn't figure out how to get it done. And this, to me, said, this sounds like something I should get involved in. And one day, I was walking down Madison Avenue, and I passed the Hemsley Palace. And all of a sudden, I said, I got it. Because the Hemsley Palace, you have the old building.
Right.
And right behind it, you have a new building.
Oh.
And I knew the key to unlock this building, because it was not buildable. It was a landmark building. You couldn't put anything on the roof. You had to put mechanicals. Where do you put them? You couldn't design it because it wasn't enough square footage. So you could have maybe made a 130-room hotel, which is not economical. And it was just, how do you build it? Nassau Street is a very narrow, small street. Beekman Street is a small street. And it had every single problem that you can imagine. And when I saw that, that was the answer. The answer was not my building. The answer is I had to acquire the building that abutted that building, that was next door to that building. And very quietly, I went after that deal, and I was successful in getting that deal. And I didn't tell anybody about it. Once I had that deal tied up, then I was able to go head on and get this deal.
Interesting. And talk about what then happened. You know, what is the Beekman Hotel?
What then happened was, first I told my wife, I said, look, I'm looking at this deal, but I just want to warn you before that the last four people that were involved in this deal all got divorced.
So what did he say to that?
And I said, don't blame me. It's the building that brings out the worst in all these relationships that happen. So we said we'd go for it, and I got it, and then I lost it because the owners went peddling my contract and trying to get a higher price, which they did get because some of my competitors heard that I did my due diligence, and if I was willing to buy it, they wanted it, and sure enough, one of them bought it, and 3 months later, he couldn't close because he didn't know about the building next door. Because that was the key to unlock the value of this building. And today it's a Gold Star, Condé Nast Gold Star Hotel, one of 85 in the world, only three in New York, besides the Carlisle and St. Regis. The Beekman is the number one hotel in New York.
So did you get back involved in it then?
Yes, well, the guy came back to me and said, if you want to buy it, it's still yours.
So you were able to get this whole vision. So here's a lot of things you saw. You saw a vision in terms of, well, it's great here. The second thing you said is, well, but there's a problem. Then you saw the other, the Helmsley, so you tied that in together. And the third characteristic you had is silence, because you didn't tell anyone this secret.
No.
And the fourth is patience. So
it came back to me.
You're tying in all these vision, experience, a lot of pieces, and that's how you create value.
Yes. And my wife said, when they called me back, and said, do you want it? Do you still want it? And you have to pay $5 million more. And my wife said, don't you dare. You know, and she said she was upset because of what they
did.
This
was almost a divorce.
It was because she was, it was interesting. The guy called me the day of my birthday, my 60th birthday.
Right.
And he told me, you lost the deal, I got somebody else. Because you didn't perform. I said, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
Your lawyer has a check already for the deposit. But he got $5 million more, which was more important to him than his honor and his word.
Wait. But there comes in something I've heard from you in the past, from Harry Helmsley, actually. When they asked him, they said, Mr. Helmsley, how do you have all of the great properties? What was his answer?
I always overpaid. And I did the same.
That is a great story. This is Robert Breesaw on the CEO Show, where we speak with the CEOs who have reinvented the fabric of America. We're speaking with Alan Gross, who is the founder, CEO, and chairman of GFI. And we're talking about how you create value. So now I'm going to ask you another example. I love that example. Before we go into anything else, so think about what's another example of how you created value. That was a great story.
Well, we are presently doing I bought the Parker Meridian Hotel on 57th Street.
Wow, that is one iconic.
Yes, and it was what attracted me to that asset is, first of all, I had the honor of meeting Jack Parker on numerous occasions. And any time you meet an old-timer that was a principal and built a building like that, and you feel that this is something that was owned by the same person for over 40 years, and you feel that this is something that I can add value because there's got to be low-hanging fruit here. And we bought it, and we were in the middle of redesigning it, and we're very excited about this project. So it was a 729-room hotel, and we're going to create two hotels within a hotel, a four-star and a five-star hotel in the same
building. Is the five-star above it or below?
The five-star is above, but on top of that, there's going to be condos. Not too many condos, but 60 condos.
So what's the secret sauce of this one?
It's the location.
Of course,
sure.
It's location, but it's also
Central Park
the fact
is.
The fact that there's so much low hanging fruit of creating value in this asset. Like there's no food and beverage. There's no greatness about the hotel, and we're going to restore the greatness of the hotel that didn't exist before.
So everyone listening in, you're learning value creation is you're finding new things that did not exist. And you're figuring out, you have to have the vision and the patience, and you have to learn from other areas. If anyone wants to find out about GFI, what is the website?
GFICap.com.
There you go. And we're going to be back with Alan Gross, and then we're going to talk about a really interesting component of his leadership philosophy, and that is faith. Back in a few. The CEO Forum, where you'll hear directly from top CEOs in America on how to become more successful.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with Reputation Defender. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with Reputation Defender. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771. For your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with Reputation Defender. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771.
Warning! If you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $10,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-976-1460. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-976-1460. That's 1-800-976-1460. 1-800-976-1460.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
Do you own a timeshare? Well, you probably now realize it wasn't a good idea, and the financial strain it's putting on you and your family has you stressed, and you probably think there's no way out. This is Steve Sanchez, and you know I've been an advocate for hardworking Americans just like you for 27 years, and there's a way out of this financial nightmare, and my friends at Wesley Financial, the leading timeshare cancellations company in the country, can help you cancel your timeshare guaranteed. Being lied to, misled, and pressured into buying a timeshare doesn't have to be your story. But freedom of being out of it can be. I have a special free information kit that will give you the step-by-step process that Wesley Financial uses to get you out of your timeshare guaranteed. Call 1-800-501-6100. That's 1-800-501-6100 or visit stevesanchez.info. You don't have to have the financial nightmare of a timeshare any longer. Wesley Financial can help you get out guaranteed. Call 1-800-501-6100.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
When you have a pain in the neck, a real pain in the neck, back, shoulder, or legs, you now have two convenient choices to get fast relief without taking another pill. Because now, Sunny Bay heating wraps and pillows are available at both Amazon and Walmart. Yes, see Sunny Bay's 4.5 to 5-star customer reviews on Amazon.com or Walmart.com. Our microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body wraps are designed better for perfect support where and when you need it. Even while driving, Sunny Bay wraps will not burn and stay balanced to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to help treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part, Sunny Bay quality products start at under $20. Join thousands of happy customers and see why Sunny Bay products have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. It's easy. Click Amazon or Walmart and search today for Sunny Bay.
This is Robert Reese on the CEO Show, and we're here today with Alan Gross, and he is the founder, CEO, and chairman of the famous GFI, and we talked about how to create value. But in building the company from scratch up to 600 people, one great thing you did is you have always been very faith-based. As a matter of fact, you built the shul, a major one in Brooklyn. 1,000 people go there.
Yes, it was a community facility. It's not mine. It belongs to the community. I donated it to the community. But I think the secret sauce, as they say, of being a leader is that you have to understand that it's not a privilege. It's a responsibility. And that's the key factor. When you see your desks in your office, you got to remember that every desk represents a family. And you got to remember that every decision that you make, there are families that depend on the decisions that you're making. And that's the responsibility that I'm talking about. Throughout the 40 years that I've been doing this, I think the recipe for success is that nothing is cast in stone. You got to understand that you've got to flow as times change. You have to change. Principles, like when I started work, if your father worked for IBM, you work for IBM. If your father worked for Chase Manhattan Bank, all possibilities, you would get to Chase Manhattan Bank. Today, there's no such thing. There's no loyalty or any of that. And with the internet and LinkedIn and everything else that's involved in it, we're moving at such a fast pace, and young people don't really have the patience that we used to have. And they don't know what it means to pay the dues. I remember once interviewing a young man, and I said to him, you know, you had 8 jobs in 10 years. When do you really, you know, learn of what you're doing? And he looked at me and said, yeah, but every single job I had, I got paid more than the last job. I said to him, but did you ever find out where the bathroom is? Did you ever learn anything from your experiences? And unfortunately, that's the challenge. So I think the challenge today for any CEO is dealing with human resources, dealing with people and understanding and trying to really inspire them and try to lead them and try to give them a good experience that they should understand the benefits of growing. And they're not very easy of dealing with the ups and downs that exist in business today. It's ups and downs every day. The economy, whether it's the economy, whether it's your industry. I remember when I was in school, the richest kid in the class, his father made covers for car seats. That's what they made, slip covers for car seats. And we were all envied that kid. and he made these leather covers for the steering wheels because it was too hot. Now, where's that industry today?
Well, speaking of that, you've been in business for 40 years. How do you keep everything fresh where you're always thinking new things and, you know, how do you do that? And you're mentoring young talent also.
So I try to tell people what I do every day at 5 o'clock, I quit. And the next day I start a new job. So
you look, you compartmentalize.
Yes.
You have a lot of your principles in business, which you've built from faith in a way, and talk about what you have learned and how that what you could learn from religion and that ties into successful business.
I think the two most important things is one, to understand that a good CEO must have discipline, and faith and religion is discipline. It disciplines you to act in certain fashions, and whether it's working out in the mornings or doing anything, it's a discipline. If you know, most of us know that fight weight. No, if you don't work out in the morning, it ain't going to happen.
You work out at 5 a.m. every morning.
That's correct. If I don't do it in the morning, it's just never going to happen.
So the key with discipline is doing the hard, the important things first.
And doing it on a consistent basis. The second part is that you learn that you are not really in control of everything. There are certain things that you don't control, period. I don't control the economy. I don't control what interest rates are. So I learn those things are not what I'm busy with. It's beyond me. I don't control the weather. So I don't involve myself, I don't aggravate myself over that, and what I try to focus on is the things that I do control. For instance, when I buy an asset, most of the people that I meet are very focused. What kind of return am I going to make? Well, guess what? I don't know. I mean, we underwrite it to a certain number, but do I know if it's going to paper out that way? Do I know if a plane, God forbid, comes into Manhattan and changes the whole site? Do I know what happens with the economy? Do I know maybe somebody's going to come out with a better product than we have? So you don't control that. But I can control the downside. My due diligence can mean how much can I lose? And that's what I focus on when I look at a deal. How much can I lose? And that's the sector that I've got to focus on.
That's really interesting. When you think about all GFI through all the years, and we talked a lot about value creation in the first half, you've had a lot of alumni who have gone on to create their own new value, and it's almost like this is perpetuating value creation. Talk about some of your alumni and how you build that value creation in them.
Well, we know that every business that you start, there are a lot of people that are going to take your ideas or your business acumen and form their own businesses. To me, I don't get insulted by it, and it doesn't become a lifelong vendetta. I don't focus on it, and I believe everything that happens to us, that happens to my family, is going to happen with them or without them. They're not the source of my success. So yesterday I had a meeting of 30 brokers sitting around, and they're talking, and everybody's coming up with an idea. I'm going to go out of town. I'm going to go here. I'm going to look here. There's still enough business here. So you try to create a group and really create them strong, and it works.
You've 30 seconds left. What advice do you have about value creation to CEOs?
I think that you are the best value creator in the whole company. And you've got to be the one that sets the example. And even if you're scared and you're worried, never show it to the employees, because anybody that's nervous or anybody that's worried cannot perform the way they should be. So you've got to give them faith. You've got to give them hope. And that's what the best thing that you can do, and give them leadership. That's the best thing that you can do as a CEO.
And there you have it. Alan, a pleasure having you on the CEO show.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthur Decks for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for Life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.